Hey, good morning, everybody. Last day in November. Kind of in that funk after the Thanksgiving feast, sitting around and still enjoying the day off. I have a lot of empathy for those of you who are flying and will have a really busy day tomorrow trying to get home. And those of you driving, please be careful out there. You're not in a hurry. It's a holiday. Relax. Don't get all wound up about it. Get home safe, okay? So, speaking of the holiday, it is getting close to the holiday that we look forward to, and that's December 21st, so that the days start getting longer. The Earth makes its round circling the sun, and we are going to start seeing more sunshine every day for about 6 months. It's going to be wonderful because I am tired of getting up in the dark and going home in the dark. Just doesn't work for me. As those days start getting longer, we'll be filling in the garden. There'll be lots of planting to be done. We'll start seeing more of the producing plants. Ones rather than the leaf eaters, the ones that actually produce fruits, will start sneaking into the garden again. Unfortunately, we'll probably have our cold snap. You know that we're going to have some day where it's going to be icy or it's going to be really, really cold and the wind's going to be blowing like crazy, so you should be prepared for that. We've already had a couple of freezes here in Texas. We got cold enough. We aren't technically to our first frost of the year. That should occur like this week for most of Austin, but we've already had it. So we need to prepare the garden for those kind of events. Again, cannot emphasize enough, an application of seaweed goes miles and miles and miles better towards keeping the plant more cold resistant. The potassium that's in it and some of the biological chemistries, the augmentins, the cytokinins, all of these things work really hard to ensure that the vascular system of the plant works well. It's kind of a blood pressure regulator for plants. And in doing so, it gives it the ability to withstand colder temperatures without suffering damage. So to make your plants more cold hardy, once a month, maybe I'm really enthusiastic about it and I do it every couple of weeks, an application of seaweed, per the instructions, goes miles into making that plant able to get through the winter better. We're going to have a cold day. I'm sure we will. We've already had some cold days. Seaweed won't suddenly make the plant. If the plant is at risk at 30 degrees, it's not going to make the plant withstand 0 degrees. But it may make the difference between 30 degrees causing damage and 30 degrees the plant just shakes it off, doesn't have a problem with it, or easily recovers from that little cold burst so that any damaged leaves are quickly and easily replaced by the plant. So it's a simple application that can really help you get through the cold weather. You also need to consider, are you prepared for the plants you want to protect? Can you cover them up? Can you provide them some kind of blocking from the really cold temperatures? Frost cloth, row cover, whatever you want to call it, works on a really simple principle. You're going to put a blanket over the plant. The soil, the ground is going to be warmer than the freezing air. So when I put this cover over the plant, the warmth of the ground is going to rise up and collect under the cover, and it's going to keep that air warmer than the outside air, meaning it will give you, they'll say between 6 and 8 degrees. Let's just say 5 for a nice round number. It'll make it 5 degrees warmer under that cover than it is to the outside. That means if it gets to 30, my plant's still 35. Probably not as bothered by it. So simple things like this can get us through when we have the cold day in the winter. Just cannot emphasize it enough, though. have your stuff ready now. There is nothing more miserable than to be surprised by the weather, to get home from a long day of work. It's dark out, it's windy out, the rain is falling or sleet is falling. It is just the worst time to go out and try to protect your garden. So have your stuff ready ahead of time. Pay attention to the weather. If you see the cold coming, it is okay to cover stuff up early. There should never be a question, should I cover something? Cover it. And the plant's not going to complain. You are not going to hurt it by covering it up, and it doesn't freeze. Okay, you kept the plant a little warmer. The plant's not going to complain about that. Now, if it were 80 degrees out and you covered it with plastic and suddenly made it a 110-degree greenhouse, plant may complain about that one. But in the cold weather, don't worry about it. Don't debate it. If you can get out there and cover stuff up and it's a false alarm, things are fine. But what's really going to be bad is when it's a false alarm that it's not going to freeze. And, oh my gosh, you get up in the morning and there's frost everywhere and your plants are all damaged beyond all help. So get that stuff ready. It's not expensive. It's not hard to do. Another thing about the frost cloth, readily available at your independent nurseries, they get runs on them. We get a weather report that shows, oh, hey, we see this really cold snap coming. People are going to run out there and they're going to try to get their frost cloth to prepare for the cold snap. And there's going to be a run on it. And then if you realize, oh my gosh, I forgot to get mine, and you go run to that independent nursery, it's likely they're out. And then you got to improvise. It's possible. But a whole lot easier if you just get prepared now. Nobody says that you have to cover stuff. Be great. Well, I think it would be good if we had a winter where it didn't freeze. We'd all have great gardens. We'd have a lot of bugs in the spring because the freeze kills off a lot of our pests. But we would have great gardens through the winter. It's not going to happen. It's going to freeze. It just is. That's Texas. That's how it works around here. So get stuff ready now. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. We're going to take a quick break. You give me a call, 512-836-0590. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back, everybody. You know, I want to remind you of something. It's the after Thanksgiving sale time. And you really want to take advantage of that sale by heading out to the Natural Gardener, 8648 Old Bee Caves Road. And why would you go there? Well, everything in the store is 20% off. That's right, everything. Whether you want a plant or you want the shovel to dig the hole to put the plant in, everything is 20% off. And that's really great because if you haven't purchased a Christmas tree yet, you can still get living Christmas trees there. Those are trees that are alive in containers. You can decorate them. They will look fantastic during your Christmas holiday. And when you're done, you can put them in the ground and let them grow and mature to become a beautiful tree in our landscape. The varieties of living trees they have will do very well here in Central Texas. They're large and beautiful trees, and it's one more step to being a little more sustainable with your Christmas. So, go take advantage of the sale. It's out at the Natural Gardener, 8648 Old Bee Caves Road, where you can enjoy 20% off everything in the store. Now, speaking of Christmas trees, y'all be careful with them. Remember the best practices. If you get a tree that has been cut recently, it's a long time to go in your home as a cut piece of firewood. You have to be careful with them. So be cautious. Make sure you keep them watered well. Consider making sure that you pick one up that is really, really fresh. Or again, go with a live tree. There's a lot less risk with them and you get to add them to your landscape later. So be cautious when using a Christmas tree that's one of these cut ones. Some of them are beautiful. Haven't picked out one for my home yet. Actually don't have a spot yet. Got to move some furniture around to be able to put a tree up. So it's that time of the year. It's also time for the poinsettias to be showing up, the beautiful color that they provide for Christmas. Also, the Christmas cactuses. These are just gorgeous plants to be adding to your Christmas decorations with their lovely blooms on it. So think about how you can integrate some of these plants. You know what starts to show up and looks really nice are the succulent wreaths. They have that Christmas condition to them, that big, beautiful round wreath. But rather than bows and ribbons, there are succulents with all of these amazing colors and textures to them. It's kind of weird to understand that a succulent can range from a very pale light green to this deep, almost blue color and all everything in between. So lots of ways to bring those into the Christmas environment. Let's go to the phone. This is Jane. Good morning, Jane. What can I help you with?
Hi, good morning. We have talked a few times. I always appreciate being able to get in here.
Yes, ma'am. So, thank you.
Oh, well, certainly. I appreciate you guys very much. So I'm hoping to find out if any of those things you mentioned earlier, beets, kale, any radishes, anything like that, would be suitable for a large container. I know you're not going to get much of a yield, but could you just get a little crop out of those?
Yes, you can. There is a variety of beet called Solyndra. It's almost a carrot. I'm sorry, in shape, it's probably an inch or two in diameter max. And it grows longer, but it's a true beet, tastes like a beet. You can still harvest the leaves for salads, but that would be great in a container. There are dwarf varieties of kale. Now, they still produce totally delicious edible kale leaves. They just don't get to some of the size that the bigger plants can, and they would also work in a container very well.
Okay.
And of course, lettuces and spinaches, they don't really take up a lot of room. So in a moderate size container, you probably only need one to be 6 or 8 inches deep, and you could plant all of those in there.
Okay, now I'm assuming, I think the lettuces would probably still be suitable by seed, but the others, I'm guessing you need a start.
No, the beet would be by, no, you could do them all by seed. It would just be an issue of your patience. Now, the beets are probably only going to be found by seed because you don't normally get a beet start, but you could do all of them by seed if you wanted to. Starts would only make them go faster.
And so that's even right now with it being December 1, basically.
Hopefully with your local nursery, they would still be having the varieties available to you. Because of the weather, it's going to depend on whether growers are keeping up.
Got it. Final question, what about protecting from a freeze when we have one coming?
Okay, so if you have a container and it's no bigger around than a 5-gallon bucket, drop a 5-gallon bucket on the top of it or a large cardboard box that you would throw a sheet over the box so that there'd be no leaking of heat. And always remember with containers, water them well before the freeze.
Okay, got it.
Lots of moisture in the pot will keep them warm.
Okay, which is so counterintuitive, but I did know that part, so that's very good. All right, well, thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Jane. Yeah, folks, you know, lots of us we have to call it a luxury to have a place to have a garden, whether it's a simple 4x4 or it's bigger. Some of us have rather large gardens. Not everybody does, but you can grow an amazing amount of things in a container. A simple square foot of ground in a container can grow a lot of beets, and you can grow onions and garlic, and you can have a big leafy pot with nothing but kale and chard and lettuce and spinach growing in the same container. And that would fit on the back patio. It would fit on a balcony if you lived in an apartment. So don't assume that you can't garden without a big garden, because it's not true. It does not take much space to be able to grow food for yourself. And let's say that you just, I'm not going to grow food. You can have a beautiful herb dish. And there's something to be said that when you're cooking, whether it's breakfast or a meal for, 10 friends, to be able to walk out and cut fresh herbs and add to the dish. You think this terribly little small thing. No, it's not. It's so vibrant to the meal. It tastes so delicious. There's nothing better than fresh. In a small pot, you can grow cilantro or chervil, salad burnet. You can grow all of these kinds of herbs that you would add to your dinner. A small rosemary plant, fresh rosemary is amazing. You couldn't this time of the year because it's cold, but basil fits in a small pot, grows really nicely. So even a single container can add so much to your environment, to the deliciousness of the meals that you're making, to share with friends, or you can fill a pot and the Solyndra beets, you could get a fair-sized pot, grow a bunch of them, and harvest beets as you go along. It can hold quite a few of them. So even without having a piece of ground, even without having a garden, you can garden. You just need some dirt and something to hold the dirt in, and away you go. You can have a wonderful, delicious garden and enjoy fresh vegetables and fresh herbs. And of course, there is always your local community garden. Almost every community in the sound of my voice has a community garden. And they have plots available, and you get to share the experience with gardeners who have never put a seed in the ground or spent the last 40 or 50 years working the soil. It's always a great experience. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. We're coming up to the bottom of the hour. We're going to need to take a break for the news. Give me a call, 512-836-0590. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Hey, Bill, we're probably a tad past misty out right at the moment. It looks like it's actually sort of raining out here. Is that going to end today?
Yeah, I think this is mainly something we'll see this morning, Jeff. A cold front is approaching from the north and west, so temperatures probably close to our high now. We're not far from the 80-degree mark. It's a little muggy out there, a little bit of light rain here the next couple of hours in a few spots, but improving this afternoon. The sunshine comes back out. Temperatures drop a little bit. The wind will pick up as well. And then this front moves through, sort of cleans out the atmosphere and makes it clear tonight and 45, and then partly to mostly sunny and in the mid-60s tomorrow and Monday. So not as warm for the rest of the weekend into Monday, but hey, we'll take mid-60s in late October or late November, I guess this is.
Well, tomorrow is December, so
that's right.
Yeah, we'll take this weather anytime in December. Well, we're at least getting the cold and enough of this mistiness that we're not just screaming for water at the moment. But do you see in a longer outlook here that the rain's going to return?
Yeah, we're, of course, looking forward to some rain because we're going to finish the month of November at about one-fifth of what we usually get in the month. And, looking at the outlook for the next couple of weeks, while it does look warmer than normal outside of here the next couple of days, the chances of precipitation do go up a little bit. I think it will be close to normal, so that, means a few tenths of an inch here and there. So not that steady, heavy rain we're looking for, but it won't be bone dry either.
Okay, well, we'll just keep that kind of little bit of balance. Hopefully we will see some heavier rain. Of course, that means we'll get it at Christmas time, and then we'll sneak in some cold. And for the first time in, like, what, 250 years, we'll have a white Christmas in Austin, right?
I am not brave enough to forecast that at this point.
Trying to pin you into the corner there,
yeah,
Bill. I see you were able to duck it. Okay,
right.
Well, we're going to enjoy as soon as the sun pops up, and pretty nice rest of the week.
Yeah, pretty good rest of the week for waddling and walking.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, let's go to the phone here. This is Dane. Good morning, Dane. What can I help you with?
Morning, Jeff. Enjoy your show as always. Got a question about the Medina Plus. You were talking about a cold front coming in and eating a little bit of seaweed.
Yes.
Is there enough seaweed extract in the Medina Plus to satisfy that?
Let's put it this way. It's a lot of help. Because seaweed, when used regularly, whether by itself or in another product, is cumulative. So if you've been keeping up a fair process with the Medina Plus, then it has been building up, and it will help prevent the cold. But
look
at it this way, though. It's the difference between taking a multivitamin and simply taking, for example, extra vitamin C to prevent a cold in the winter. So, yes, I'm getting some, and if I've been regular with it, it should help a lot. If you're like, well, I'm just going to give it one shot of the Medina Plus, you'd probably be more beneficial if you haven't been using it to go with the shot of seaweed straight.
Okay, and what's the best straight seaweed then?
Usually whatever you find in the local market, it's for the most part, Medina has a product, straight seaweed, and the other one is called Maxi Crop. Those are like the two big vendors in the local area. Either one is fine.
Okay, and I'm kind of up in the Leander area, so Red Barn, someplace like that?
Yeah, actually Red Barn should have it for you. I was going to say they're open again up there on Baghdad, I believe. And
2243, yeah.
Yeah, and you could just head over there. They may have both kinds.
Sweet. Well, Jeff, as always, I appreciate you, sir.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to, this is Ray. Ray, what can I help you with?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Thanks for all you do, bud.
Yes, sir.
Hey, we're fixing to purchase another house over here in Leander, and I am looking at, I've heard you and John talk about the Monterey Oaks, the quick-growing, sturdy tree and stuff.
Yes, sir.
I've got two live oaks and two red oaks right now, and they drop acorns by the thousands. Is it easy enough to distinguish the male and female on a Monterey oak so I can just get a male or what?
There is no male and female. They have both on the same plant.
Okay, so
they're going to make acorns.
So they drop acorns. No.
Right. Now, the best you can do here is there's no control over it, but an oak tree won't necessarily produce acorns every single year. I have a Monterey going on 10 years old. I see it produce acorns. It hardly drops any. They may not make it all the way through the year. It's 20 feet tall, 15 feet wide. I don't get hardly any off of it. But there's no predictability on how big the crop of acorns will be. Some years it's really heavy. Some years it's literally zero. But an oak tree is an oak tree. There's no male oak tree, female oak tree.
Oh, so it doesn't matter whether it's live oak or red oak. You just get what you get, huh?
Correct. And they'll all produce an acorn.
Wow. Well, mine are very happy and very well fed, I guess, because they...
Well, you need more squirrels. You need more squirrels or more blue jays, because they'll pick those up and get them out of the way for you. Otherwise, yeah, there's really no easy regulation of the acorn drop.
Okay. So what would be another hardy tree that grows fairly fast I could put in the backyard that may not drop acorns, per se?
Are you okay with it dropping its leaves in the winter?
Oh, yeah.
The cedar elm is a very, very rapid grower. It tends to be more upright than broad, has a tiny little leaf, so you don't have this real big leaf problem. And it usually puts on a pretty buttery yellow color in the fall. So that's always a nice choice. And it's not very messy. It doesn't tend to produce a mess underneath. However, it does drop some seeds. If you are mowing underneath the tree or around the tree, you won't have a problem. It's not okay. Like you're going to have them coming up everywhere. But it's a good choice. So is the tree known as a Texas ash. It is not messy. It is really well adapted, not the Arizona, but the Texas ash, a fairly fast grower. I think it's a good choice for our area also. But it'll have a pretty fall color and will drop its leaves in the fall also.
And is it pretty sturdy? I know I had an Arizona ash up in Georgetown. When freezes came, it broke branches fairly regularly, and some of them, you know, 3 inches around.
No, this is a good sturdy tree. I've got one in my front yard that's got to be the better part of, let's see, coming up on 40 plus years old now. Okay. I do not have trash branch problem. It has been very, very healthy. It's grown well. It can be a taller tree. There's one I know of at the Natural Gardener that's got to be better than 30 feet, probably close to 40 feet tall, but it's a healthy tree, and it doesn't make a mess. It's also a nice choice.
Very good. So either cedar elm or Texas ash.
Both of those will work well in our area. They're from our area. They handle our environment well.
Sounds good. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate the information.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the call. Let's go see. Oops, sorry. Evelyn, Karen, I see you there. Can you hang on a minute? We're up against our last break. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phones. This is Evelyn. Good morning, Evelyn. What can I help you with?
Yes. First of all, I enjoy your program whenever I can listen to it. Anyhow, this morning you were talking about an organic weed killer.
Yes, ma'am.
And I didn't catch the name of it.
Sure. You can make it yourself, and it is a combination of horticultural vinegar, that's really high acid vinegar, 1 gallon of vinegar, 1 cup of orange oil, and about a teaspoon of a liquid soap. When you spray this on the leaf, it will produce a chemical burn on the leaf and kill the leaves. The plant has no leaves, can't make food, and it'll starve to death. There are companies that make this premix, and that's changed a lot on the market recently, and I can't think of the name of one off the top of my head, but your local nursery may carry something that is a premix of this, all in one jug. You just pick up the jug and go. But if you wanted to make it yourself, it's 1 gallon of vinegar, 1 cup of orange oil, 1 teaspoon of a liquid soap.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yes, ma'am. Just remember, it doesn't care what you spray it on. If I spray it on a weed, it's going to try to kill the weed. If I spray it on my rose, it's going to try to kill my rose. So you can only spray it on what you want to kill.
Will it kill it completely or just burn the leaves off?
It'll take off the top of the plant. If it's a simple annual weed, it's probably going to kill it in one shot for you. Some plants, like if you're tackling poison ivy, you're going to have to use it over a longer period of time. Come out and spray and then check every week or two to make sure there any leaf that comes up, you spray it as quickly as you can.
Okay. That sounds good. And kind of easy.
Yes, ma'am, it is, and it's very safe. And once it's dry, if I spray a plant, once it's dry, kids and pets can go play in the area. There's no concern.
Okay. I thank you very much, and I sure enjoy your program whenever I can listen to it. I try to even take the radio outside if I have to, and yes.
Well, Evelyn, I appreciate the call, and you enjoy the rest of the day.
Okay, and happy holidays.
You too. Thank you, Evelyn. Let's go to, this is Karen. Good morning, Karen. What can I help you with?
Well, first of all, I live in a tract home, so you know how close the houses are. Outside my kitchen window is a fence. Turns out it's a low area, and I tried to plant crepe myrtles there, and they flooded because whenever it rains, that area floods. I had a raised bed put in, And now I'm wondering, it's about 2 feet high,
mm-hmm.
what I can plant in there that will cover up the fence with, like, green leaves and maybe flowers, maybe not, but it can't be real wide, whatever I would plant.
Okay, that's a good choice. I can think of three different vines, especially in that raised bed, that should do fine. How much okay. sun does it get?
It gets a lot of sun. It doesn't get in the shade till very late in the afternoon.
Excellent. Okay, first off, the perennial vine called Confederate Star Jasmine. It's evergreen. It's easily controlled. It needs to be worked onto a fence. It just won't wrap around it on its own, and you don't have to do any work. You need to kind of guide it, but it will okay. stay up on a fence or a trellis, and it has a beautiful and super fragrant white blossom, usually in the spring. The older the plant gets, the more frequent it blooms.
Okay.
No bugs, no diseases, very, very forgiving plant, and controllable, doesn't go crazy. Number two is a plant called Carolina Jessamine. It's not Confederate Star Jasmine. It's Carolina Jessamine. It's an aggressive grower. It can usually climb on its own. It's a little bigger, probably 10 feet wide easily from a single plant and 10 feet tall, but it doesn't mind being trimmed. It's evergreen, but early, early spring, it is covered with really pretty yellow flowers.
Okay.
And then the last one, which you're far enough south in San Marcos that you will probably be able to keep this growing and consider it almost evergreen, is passion flower. Of course, it has the very, very unique blossom to it. It grows really well here in Central Texas. There's a native passion flower with beautiful white and blue flowers. You can find ones that are purple and red and yellow, a whole assortment of passiflora, the family of plant. It will easily twine its way onto a fence line by itself. In that particular bed, in that particular sunlight, it should grow like crazy. In a really cold winter, it may freeze all the way back to the ground, but you come back in the spring.
Okay. All these things are like climbing on the fence. Is there any like bush kind of thing you can just plant like a bush?
The only problem with that is, Evelyn, is you can, but they will turn out to be kind of round, if you know what I mean. So yeah, I have to plant them far enough away from the fence line that I'm not always having to trim them or they're not damaging the fence, but they may grow so big around that you can't walk past them if it's a real narrow walkway.
Okay, so the vines are a much better suggestion.
Right, and those three require almost no care, literally. I go out there every couple of weeks and make sure they're climbing where I want them to climb. But other than that, they're very, very strong in our Central Texas area. They're reasonably drought tolerant. They can handle the sun that you're talking about. And two out of the three are evergreen, the third one sometimes. So those would be not taking up so much room for you.
Okay. Sounds wonderful. I appreciate the help. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thanks for the call. Let's go. Getting kind of busy here all of a sudden. Let's go to William. William, what can I help you with?
Yes, Mr. Rentz. I'm just wondering, with the vinegar orange oil soap solution,
mm-hmm.
are we talking about like a mild liquid soap or a more hardcore liquid detergent?
Doesn't matter. Because okay. the intent is to kill what you spray it on, it's only acting as a wetting agent so that the water won't bead on the leaf. So whatever you have available will be safe and perfectly fine to use.
All right. Well, thank you. That was my only question.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the call. So let's go to, oh, I knew I was going to get one of these. Dave's going to make me bad here. Hey, Dave, what's up? What can I help you with?
I'll go easy on you, Jeff. And I know the answer to this already, but I'm just checking. That solution will not work on invasive bamboo, I don't imagine, would it?
Technically speaking, the answer is it would work on it. But here's the deal. First off, you would be much better off if you can start by mowing the bamboo. So first,
we're going to do that. Yeah, we're going to mow it and try to dig it out, but it still just comes back every year.
That's true. Here's where the weed killer may work. If I have it available and every weekend I go out and look at the area where I've cut back this bamboo, every time I see a green leaf, if I squirt that green leaf and burn it off, if I regularly combine that with mowing, you can actually control the bamboo. You'll get it to the point where it's kind of going to go, okay, I'm not going to grow in this area. The roots will continue to expand, but it will stop putting up shoots. If you've ever been to Boggy Creek Farm, they have a driveway. And as you go down this driveway, the left side of the driveway going into the farm is nothing but the neighbor's bamboo. And it's not on the driveway side, and that's because they constantly are keeping it mowed short to try to get control of it. It's still a pain. There's no argument there. It requires the maintenance. But the spray should help you stay ahead of the problem.
Great, Jeff. Thanks again for everything.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the call. Yeah, folks, the quote organic herbicide, it works. It just does not work on some plants in one single spray. You have to dedicate yourself to it. That's why I really make the point here. Plants have the unique ability to turn sunshine into food. If they don't get sunshine, meaning you cut their leaves off or you cover them, they can't make food, they will die. It's just some plants like bamboo and poison ivy and Bermuda, they got a lot of root, and it takes a long time to finally starve them. Just requires dedication. Folks, that's the end of the show. I will be back here tomorrow at 8. I hope you are enjoying a safe and happy Thanksgiving weekend. We'll talk to you tomorrow.